Demos.
Hello, I'm Pete Bradwell. Welcome to another Demos podcast. I'm joined today by Jamie Bartlett, a researcher here at Demos who works on the Identity Programme and is currently doing a big project looking at the relationship between radicalisation and violence. Jamie's just written a think piece called Wicked Jihad. Jamie, it's a bit of a confusing title. Why don't you tell us about the paper?
Well, it's really quite a simple idea. We need to understand what the appeal of Al-Qaeda is. Traditional accounts tend to look at what we might call structural responses. So we think about racism, we think about Western foreign policy and such things. But I think there is another side to Al-Qaeda which we don't look at enough, which is that for many people it can seem to offer a sense of an adventure, excitement, the thrill of danger, the thrill of going overseas, travelling.
I mean, it's more conventional to think of terrorism as something that's unconscionably abhorrent, but you seem to be arguing in this paper that, in fact, we can think of extremism and extremist life as kind of desirable or alluring to some people. I mean, is there a risk that you're trivialising this to some extent?
No, I don't think so, because this isn't to say that these other big things, like, for example, Western foreign policy, aren't important. But our role is to understand what the appeal of Al-Qaeda is and to ignore its human side. Some of those human aspects is dangerous. Ultimately, I think far from trivialising it by looking at it in this way, I'm trying to, in a sense, recognise its complexity. Placing this in the context, really, of other forms of social action, football hooliganism, animal rights violence, so on and so forth. These are things that have much in common with the appeal of Al-Qaeda, but we don't seem to study them in that sense. The second point is that, again, this is trying to place the appeal of Al-Qaeda within the context of broader cultural trends. So I think it's really revealing, for example, that a number of European Muslim jihadi operatives refer to themselves as characters from Western films like James Bond's and Che Guevara's. And this again shows how wedded the appeal of this movement is to broader cultural and societal trends.
Podcasts by Demos.
Do you have any interesting examples or stories of people that have been attracted to this lifestyle for this reason?
Well, there are many examples, actually, looking at testimonies of individuals that have been involved in violent extremist action. I think we need to make a distinction often between different types of violent extremists. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Osama bin Laden or Ayman al-Zawahiri solely inspired or attracted just to a sense of adventure. So different people are clearly attracted to this for different reasons. The young men involved in Operation Crevice, which was the attempt to blow up nightclubs in London with fertilizer bombs, they actually went over to Afghanistan in search of a training camp. They weren't recruited in this kind of the sense that we think of. Now, actually, when they arrived there, one of them said that he was actually quite disappointed because it wasn't how he'd expected it to be. He thought it was going to be like on TV, but actually it was quite boring and dull. What's really interesting, though, is that he said that a local man turned up with some AK-47s and hand grenades, and they were allowed to take it in turn shooting them. And as he said, it was really wicked. Now, this, I think, is something that is repeated over and over again when you actually look closely at the testimony of individuals that have been to these training camps. So I think that the more examples we're beginning to see of testimony of people that have been out there, the more we're beginning to see that a lot of these people are appealed by that aspect of jihad.
There seems to be a narrative about, at the moment, that a lot of people subscribe to that sees extremism and radicalization as a conveyor belt. So you start off reading a few kind of dangerous texts and you end up coming out of the other side ready to blow up a building. Now, I guess this kind of story challenges that in some way.
Well, the next phase of the war on terror, it seems to be almost you know, universally recognized, is going to be about a war of ideas. Now, one side of this is the ideology. How do you undermine the ideology, the perversion of Islamic doctrine that Al-Qaeda and like-minded groups have popularized in some ways? That's true, but there's another side of it that's equally important. And that's, how do you undermine this thrill and glamour and mystique of Al-Qaeda? And I think that's what we've got to focus on trying to do. One very good way of doing that, I think, is to bring back people that have actually been at those camps to tell others what life really is like. What you find is that a number of the people that were on these, that went to these training camps, actually found it quite boring, quite tiring. As I said, they didn't see it as they had hoped. It wasn't like they had seen on television. Often they get used as skivvies, only used for their passports. They can't speak Arabic, so they feel secluded. I think this is the message that has to come out, and ideally, it has to come from people that had actually been there.
That was another Demos podcast. Thanks for listening. You can download Wicked Jihad at our website, www.demos.co.uk.
Podcasts by Demos.